गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोऽथिभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वेदान्तडिण्डिमास्तत्त्वम् एकमुद्घोषयन्ति यत् आस्तां पुरस्ता तत्तेजः दक्षिणामूर्तिसंहितम्। So let's do a short meditation, focusing on some of what we were looking at the last time. You can sit comfortably and take a few deep breaths. Being still and with the deep breaths helping too. Settle myself, becoming present and aware. Setting the stage so that I'm ready, aware, easier for me then too. Look at some of these points, contemplate on some of these points that are discussed in the text. So pointed out, the same Atma, same Brahman, is there with form, Sakaram and Nirakaram, without form, Sagunam and Nirgunam, with qualities, without qualities. So when I look at myself, I take myself to be formful, meaning having this body. With the body comes certain age, certain place I stay, certain background, all these things. Now when I take myself as awareness, just as simple awareness, which here and there I can experience, a little bit of meditation, then I can experience some of the time. I'm just aware. So I take myself as awareness. Then I take myself as the person of this age, of this background. Are those two different entities of the same entity? In essence, I'm the same one, whether I put on the form, whether I drop the form. It's not the formful being is one entity. The awareful being is a different entity, one and the same entity. Just think any formful identity I take myself as. I take myself as parent. I take myself as professional of this kind or the other. I take myself as a citizen of a certain place, resident of a place. Any one of these that I take on, I'm still the same one that is that awareful being. So the appearance or disappearance or change of the form isn't a problem. But my taking it as essential to me, this is where the problem starts. Since Nama Rupa, all the ideas I have, the forms I have, they're just temporary, they're going by. And also, any qualities I have of any type, I have certain abilities, I'm very good at one thing or the other. Or I'm mediocre or not good at a certain thing. Within my character, maybe some qualities I see are very good. And maybe within my character, some qualities I see not as good. Again, I take myself, I'm aware. And then I take myself as the one who is doing this, has this ability, the one who is in this mood. The one who has these certain qualities. Are they different entities? Me with the quality, me with the ability, and just me the awareness. Are they two different entities? Very similar to asking, I look at the bay, the water is quiet. I look at the bay another day, I see some waves. Is it the same bay or is it a different bay? So any incidental form or quality that I encounter as me, as I consider as myself, when I see that I'm caught up in it, I can reflect a little bit and see, am I not the same as the other, same one as through the other experiences, other identifications I had? Am I not the same awareness in and through all of these different ups and downs, experiences, identifications, etc.? So I, the individual, I, the awareful being, aren't two different things. I'm the same one throughout. Shanti, shanti, shanti. So let's continue moving on. That was in verse 32 that we discussed last time about sakara and nirakara, saguna, nirguna, like this. And there we also talked about the, in the universal of a samashti. And we also said that it's, in spiritual practice, a lot of time you can see a gradation or a step by step. First, with form, you need something to, mind wants something to hold on to. That's what it knows forms. Then after it's can get to, from there, to can understand, okay, the God who is the creator, all-powerful, that I'm worshiping the temple, that one, how can it be limited to just this temple? It must be everywhere. But still is left with the quality of the creator, God of everybody, father of everybody, or mother of everybody, like this. And then, afterwards, we can also go beyond that. See, it's just the one presence. It's not just that is also just incidental. With that, without that, it's still the same one. And we talked about nice methodology to how this is pointed out. We'll go into that again today in the next verse also, for it'll help to review this point as well. But in any case, let's just read this next verse. This number 33 is saying, Vijatvam vidyanushtanat vipratvam veda parthataha brahmanyam brahma vijnanat iti vedanta dindimaha. Vedanta proclaims the one who performs the enjoined actions is dvija, or twice born. That the one who studies the Vedas is vipra, and the one who knows Brahman is a brahmana. We have been going through sequentially. We haven't just, in this text, you can skip ahead or skip or pick and choose. You can do it either way, because this text has, as we said, is very nice, that it's like, Swami Tatvidanandaji says, like a bunch of grapes you can snack on. You know, some are maybe close together you can have, but then. But since we have been going through sequentially, haven't skipped anything, but we just see this verse too, very briefly, because this one doesn't have as much talking about the essence of Vedanta. Main thing it's saying is, we can have different definitions of things, different names, you know, and here, but the thing is, am I going to look at the, before it talked about akara and guna, about form and quality, so I'm going to look at the external shell or what's inside. So I can say I'm disciple of this guru and I'm living in the ashram for these many years, so then that is, I think because of that I've reached something. But the external shell is one thing, it's not the essential thing. The essential thing is, you know, do I have clarity? Do I have peace inside? You know, am I not dependent, viveka vairagya, am I not dependent on things? This is really the essential thing. What is the essence is the important thing, more than all the external, these external things that are being talked about like this. So this is the main thing being pointed out here. So, of course, culturally it's taken from here. So one can know the Vedas. One can be somebody who recites them. One can talk about it, give lectures on Vedanta and all these things. But the question is, does one really know oneself? That's the bottom line. So Brahmana can mean, of course, somebody from Brahmin caste, from the priest caste. Or it can also mean somebody who knows Brahman. So what difference is the label? The label is one thing or the other. Like Adi Guru Shankara, there's the famous poem that when he saw the chandala, right? He was going for the walk, and there was an untouchable there with some dogs, and then he was waiting for that one to go off of the path, because usually they'll let the the monk or the Brahmin go across because out of respect. But since he wasn't moving, he was a bit stunned. And so this untouchable then said to him, of course, said, well, who do you want to go aside? Do you want this body to go aside, or do you want the Atma to go aside? How can the Atma go anywhere? So then he said, well, this is quite something. The person, doesn't matter what the external garb of the person is, but the internal quality is the important thing. So this way, the internal quality is more important than the external. And the thing is, what we did get, you know, we do have a certain jati. We are born in a certain place and everything. And so we should make best use of what we have. You know, what we have, we can move forwards with it. But we're not limited by that also. We're not limited because, you know, the thing is, the potential for self-knowledge is there in and through anybody, everybody. Potential for almost anything. You'll see it, enough examples of the world, of any worldly field, people that were not of a background that we'd expect to be successful in a certain field become very successful and very great in it. You know, you can think of numerous examples. It's not hard to find them. So why not in this field too? And then, of course, if we already have a background that's supportive of it, how much more? How much more, you know, somebody that has, you know, that has all the background education and can get into a good college, for them to excel in a certain field should be much easier. They already have the preparation. So how much more we should use this? Somebody that comes from a much more difficult background that doesn't have the schooling, doesn't have the education at home, or how much more difficult? So not that they can't, but then we should use, you know, best as we can like this. So just a few words about that. It doesn't go as much into the essence, but I'm sure it's there for some good reasons. The verse has been put in there as well. The next verse we'll focus on mostly today. Next verse is talking more about the crux, the Dindima Vedanta, the main beat. You know, when they play the rhythm, then there's the main beat, and then there are the ones that are on the side, the sum they always come back to. That's the essential. So we come back to the essential. Sarvatmanasthitam brahma, sarvam brahmatmanasthitam, nakaryam karanad bhinnam iti vedanta dindimaha. Vedanta proclaims that Brahman alone manifests everything, and everything has its essence in Brahman alone. The effect is not different from the cause. Mm-hmm. So, nakaryam karanat bhinnam. Right? There's no difference from the karyam. The effect isn't different from the cause here. And this is what we were discussing last class in order to explain the God being, Ishvara, being same as Brahman, and explaining how in Vedanta we look at how can this Ishvara and this Jagat, how can it all just be the same one Brahman? This Jagat looks so real, so thick, solid. How can it be? And to just say it's all one, changeless, formless, everything else illusion, is a very big step. It's, you know, just jumping way up, that's very hard for us to see it. So this methodology that's used for this is the adhyaropa apavada. Adhyaropa apavada. What happens is, one adhyaropa is superimposition. Here we accept the superimposition. For instance, if you do worship of a murti, it's also, it could be just you think that is the God sitting in that one deity, in that one small place, and you worship there. And if anybody's worshiping any other form somewhere else, they don't know what they're talking about. That's one way we can see it. But really it's, okay, the God is ever present everywhere. Let me make a superimposition, accept that the God is in this form, and so I can worship here like this. So it's a superimposition and should be knowingly superimposed like this. Maybe for a child not, but pretty soon we should understand that. So in this same way, we say, okay, we accept the superimposition temporarily of the world as, okay, the world is a substantial existence right here. Yes, like this. Abhavada negation. So superimposition negation. So later negated. And as we mentioned, it's kind of like when you have some mathematical problem that you're figuring out. Some of the time you put in a variable. It helps you to figure it out. Later on, the variable is negated. This is the same thing Vedanta does. We gave the story of the elephants last time, having to divide a certain number of elephants, 17, in a certain way that's left in the will. And the eldest had to get half of them. It would be a little bit hard to divide 17 elephants in half. So the wise person who happened to come by brought one elephant, said, okay, use this. So they divided into two, took 9. Second one was supposed to take two-thirds of what's left. So 9, two-thirds was 6. Last one was supposed to get 2, the youngest. He took 2. That one elephant was left. The wise person took the elephant, went away. So temporarily put it in. This is the story we had last time to show how this is done. Yes, so accepting it first, later it's not needed anymore. So the steps that are done in this are very, it's a very interesting way. Step by step, the 4 steps. First step, yes, accept. World is real. World is substantial, real, right here, no problem. Okay, we accept it. Then the second step is, okay, if the world is real, there must be a cause for it, because everything we see here has a cause. You know, look at science, there's a big bang, it came out of something. There must be some cause for this whole world. It can't come out of nothing, we don't accept that, because we never see the idea that it comes out of nothing. Shunyatvam, this shunyavada. What happens is, okay, show us an example of something that came out of nothing. Any example. You can't find any example. And anything that's, if you say the world is an appearance, well, appearance also has to be appearance. Something has to be behind the appearance. We're not at the appearance yet in this step, though. We're saying, okay, there's a cause then. There has to be a cause for the world. You know, just like we have the computer, there's a cause for it. There's certain material that's there, certain electronic material. And it's a little harder, more expensive now to get because of the shortage and everything like this. So obviously there's a cause. Otherwise, why there wouldn't be a shortage? How can there be a shortage or a problem to make computer chips? So there's a cause we'll call Brahman, because the cause has to be, you know, the cause isn't limited like the effect. Like the cause, I have my stainless steel cup, right? So the stainless steel is more pervasive than the effect, right? There's a lot more of it. And it's there before the cup came into being, after the cup is melted down, made into something else. It's there. So Brahman has to be something that is beyond all this limitation change in the world, like this. Okay, very good. So Brahman Jagat Karanam, no problem. Anybody will agree, okay, there is something greater in the world, beyond the world, not limited to the world, that's the cause. Very good. That's totally accepted. Now, the third step says like this. Okay, now I have my stainless steel cup. Where did the stainless steel go? There was some stainless steel. Somebody put in a mold and then took to the market. Then somebody went to the market and bargained and finally got it. First time when I went with my wife in India, we were in Kharagpur. Two of my sister-in-laws used to live there. So we went there, and for the younger one, she went with her to the market to get her some utilities for the house. Then I didn't understand much Hindi at all. I barely knew anything. Now I can kind of understand what's going on. So then what happened was, they seemed like they were arguing for 10 minutes with the shopkeeper. And afterwards they said, oh, this is very nice. We really enjoyed shopping here, all the bargaining and everything. So bargained, and then bring it home. Now, where did the stainless steel go? Did it go somewhere? No, it's right here, right? There was a certain amount of stainless steel, and some became the cup, some became the plate, and this way, it's still there. So the cause is in the effect. The cause didn't go anywhere. You can't say the cause went away like this. So you say there's the Brahman and there's the world. Where did the Brahman go? It's very much like the stainless steel. Where did the stainless steel go? Well, it's right here in front of you is the cup. So the cause is in the effect. The cause didn't go anywhere. It's right here, right? You have, the gold necklace of this. Where'd the gold go? It's right there. So you can't say that the cause is in the effect. Where's Brahman? It's the world. It's right here. It didn't go anywhere. So an extra cosmic god that is sitting in the seventh heaven. Here, of course, people say the term seventh heaven, but it comes from the Hindu view of the 14 lokas, so seventh highest one, Brahma loka, or Satya loka, highest one, like this. So if you go all the way to there, and there you can see the god, far away. That means the god isn't here. But if the god is, if the god has to be in it through everything, everything came out of that one, everything is Brahman. So where'd the Brahman go? Right here. So that's the third step, is that the cause is in the effect. So this is still stainless steel. The cup is stainless steel. It's right here. The gold didn't go anywhere. It's in the ornaments, meaning it's the same thing. It's not a different substance. When you put on a costume, you take your kids for trick-or-treating, you put on a costume. Did you become, where did you go? You're right there. You have the same costume, not something else. So it's still the same one. Now, so this is third one saying, yes, the cause is in the effect. It's clear. So now, what difference is, so then number four, fourth step, what difference then is there between Brahman and world? There's no difference. Meaning, in order to have karya karana, this cause-effect relation, karya karana sambandha, some relation between two things like this, there have to be two things. You can't have a relationship one with itself. A relation between two different things, right? Nakaya karanat bhinnam, difference. There has to be a separation, two different things. If there are no two different things, there's no relation. No, I used to not get along with myself. Now I got better. I get along with myself, right? Well, this is some emotional, mental thing. It's not you yourself. It's something, the ma, something, acceptance samskara, non-acceptance samskara in the mind, disturbance, non-disturbance samskara in the mind, like this, but not you. You say, I have relation with my, family, with my cousins, right, with my neighbors, I re like this. Relation has to be one with something else. So how can, for Brahman to have relation as creator of the world, they have to be two different things. But it's one and the same thing then. Because how can, what is the relation? We go back to here. What is the relation between the cup and the stainless steel? What do you mean, what is really? It is stainless steel, right? It's not that there is one and the other. It's just stainless steel. What is the relation between the water and the ocean? What do you mean? The wave in the ocean, it is the ocean. It's not a different thing. So then, it's one and the same. There's no relation. If there's no relation, this whole idea of karya karana is just a superimposition because it's the same one. It's the same one the whole time. It never was something different. So then, that's the apavada saying, well, there is only the Brahman. How can there be a creation if it's relation one with itself? It does not make sense. So that's why karya karana is just an is. Okay, when you take the God Saguna, yes, Ishvara Jagat Karanam, no problem, yes. But then when you look at the essence, there is no world separate from the Brahman. It is the Brahman itself. Like this, it's not two different things in this way. It's so the only way here is that it's going to be a superimposition because one and the same thing the whole time, like this. So this is how it's looked at, how step by step one can look at to come to the conclusion that the saguna and nirguna are one the same, and also that the Brahman, or Ishvara as cause of the universe, really is this whole thing. And if you think about it, many religious views have that the God is in and through everything. This is, in many, many religions, they will say this, in and through everything. But then, this step to say, well, that means the world is mithya. It could be said in other places too. I know Buddhists say in certain ways, some of the Buddhist philosophy is very close to Vedanta, not exactly the same, but very, very close in many ways. Other ones, I'm not sure. I haven't looked into maybe mysticism, other religions, maybe say the same thing. Could be. Maybe Sufism, maybe. I don't know. But in any case, the thing is, if in and through everything, then how can it be something different? How can there be two different things? It doesn't, two things that one is in and through, but it's not. That doesn't really make so much sense like this. So this is how you can step by step go from, yes, world is real, to there is only the one essence, the Brahman, like this. This is how this is looked at. Adhyarupa apavada. Very, very common way to point this out in Vedanta. Something really worth looking at closely like this. Here in this verse gives a nice, interesting look on this also to help to explain it. Because first starts with sarvatmana sthitam brahma. So slightly different way. Same thing. Says, okay, you have time off, holiday, right? Holiday weekend. So you take the family, go somewhere. Like my wife just sent some pictures, videos, took the family there, elder sister visiting, so they all went to Puri. I was surprised. Her elder sister, must be her, you know, early 60s, has never seen the ocean. I said, really? How can that be? She said she never saw the ocean. I was surprised because, you know, I was sure she'd been to Puri sometime. But in any case, so they went. So they're at the ocean, like this, okay. Puri beach there. So there you see the waves. So you see the waves and the water. So first of all, you say there's water in the wave, right? Each wave I look at, yes, there's water in this one. Yes, water in this one. So first you see, yes, there is the substance within each of them. Sarvatmana sthitam brahma. Water in each and every wave. No problem. Now, after you see there's water in each and every wave, which is correct? The water is in each wave, or the wave is in the water? There's one big ocean, the waves are in the ocean. Because why is it this way, not that way? Take away the water. Can there be a wave? No. Take away the whole ocean. So it's a phenomena within the ocean, within the water. So really, within the one water, it's there. But it's easier first to look in each one and see. Easier like this. It's again with the water and wave, it's a very simplistic, so we'll say, well, that's quite obvious. But this is an easy way to see, yes, within each thing. This is, first of all, we can see, you know, for somebody small maybe, you see, okay, you see this is within all these different ornaments. Within this ornament, there's gold in it. Within this one, the earring, there's gold in it. Bracelet, there's gold in it. But really, there's just the one gold in these. The gold takes its form. So they're really within the world of gold. They exist in the world of gold. There's not something outside of the purview of gold that all these ornaments are sitting in this way. So in this way, first of all, easy to see, okay, let thee see the God in each thing, right? See the God in each thing. Then afterwards, if each thing is in the God, then really, it's really the other way around. Everything is in that one presence. One nice way to look at this then, because the water waves easy, no problem. when I look at my experience of the world, because sarvam, sarvam jagat, sarvam, what is sarvam? The universe. This is sarv, this is the everything, the all. What else is there? So sarvam. So I say, okay, what is the world from our experience? Because we know the world because of experience. If somebody was, let's say, blind, deaf, their world would be very, very different than ours. So is it a same world for everybody? Not really. Some other species, aliens, come here. They can't see, let's say, but they have some other sense. You know, why do we need aliens? Bats. They can't see well, but they have this radar system. Their world is very different than ours. So is their world the objective world? Theirs is just a subjective world because they're bats. They don't know too much. We're intelligent humans, so our world is the right one, right? But then take dolphins, take whales. You know, dolphins have bigger brains than ours. And they seem happier than us too on average, right? They seem to be very happy and humans seem to be miserable most of the time. So who's in a better place? Is their world a more, you know, and they're very selfless. They've helped save many people. Very interesting. So is their world, their view of what the world is, the subjective and ours? So we see a world and it's a subjective thing. Because depending on what type of senses I have and everything, and then the whole thing looks different. And we say there's some objective thing. And actually, this is one thing we spent a few months on just now in our Panchadashi, the previous chapter we were studying, is exactly on the Jiva Srishti, Ishvara Srishti. So take away my ideas, limited ideas of the world, let Ishvara Srishti be there. We get far enough like that, there'd be so little left that it's going to just collapse anyway. So get away the subjective world. So Vedanta says that's really, it's pretty much subjective like this. So what is the world? I'm experiencing the world. So a nice thing, this is what science does, scientific way. Break it down to something simple, you can look at it. Because if you take too many variables, hard. So very simple. When we look at the world, we experience five things, right? Five senses. That's what our world is, right? Shabda, right? Sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, right? We hear, and then touch, and then see, and then taste and smell. That's the world. Without that, there's no world for us. If there is a person or entity that's born, living entity, without these, there's no world for them. It'll be just like our deep sleep. There's no world. For the mind to churn something, it needs information. So let's say if I lose all my senses, now mind will still churn. Well, it's based on information I got from the world before. But in any case, what happens then? So this is the world, five things, each one of these. So if I take one of them and observe them, I can take one and observe on its own, because each one is independent. Each one is an independent pramanam. A pramanam, a means of knowledge, a valid means of knowledge, means that this gives you certain information that can't be negated and it can't be negated or enhanced by a different form of knowledge. Only it's within its purview. Like colors, my hearing, tasting, smelling, this, none of them are going to confirm colors. They can't because it's not within their purview. Only seeing. That's why a blind person will never understand or know what color is, because it just doesn't make, there's no way to convey it. Impossible. So if I take just one of them and then I look at it, here's a nice, usually hearing and seeing are taken as the two major ones. That's why nama rupa, because nama is language, sound, and rupa form. But take touch, because touch is unique in that it's, first of all, when I see here and this, I take it as I'm seeing something there. Touch, I feel it. So I feel in my body. Yes, I touch a different surface. I say that surface has something. But the whole touch is in my body. It's pervading the body. Very interesting. So if I observe touch, okay, there's touch everywhere. I can feel the sensation everywhere in my body. So first of all, say sarvatmanastitam brahma, the whole field of touch, sarva, that whole field of sense of touch. Within each sensation, there's awareness. With that, just like water is in each wave, because if there wasn't awareness there, there wouldn't be touch. What is touch without awareness? It doesn't make sense, because there's nothing to, you have to sense it. So if I say, okay, let me feel my fingers, I feel my fingers, yes. I see that within each sensation of the finger, there's awareness. Okay, now what about my feet? Yes, in each sensation there, there's awareness, like this. You know, this, so much of this, just from doing asanas for so many years, learning things that aren't taught, they just come along, like anything, if you really go through, you learn. The unwritten things, you can only learn through experience. We do our shavasana, we scan through the body each place. So we relax each place, but really, you see, each place in the body, I'm aware. Now, so each and every sensation you feel and sense of touch in the body, there's awareness there. Yes, okay. So now, are those sensations, is the awareness in each of those, or all the sensations are in the awareness? Because if you think of it, I'm one field of awareness, and the sense of touch is within that field of awareness. So just like if you go to each wave, you'll say, yes, there's water in this wave. What about that wave over there? I'm not so sure. Let me go check. Oh, yeah, there's water there too, each and every one of them. You'll go to the beach, and you're going to have to go and check each one because, you know, you don't trust. So it's really the same thing. I'm one field of awareness. And like waves within the field, there's all the sensations, sparsha, everywhere. So it's really awareness. Each one is awareness. And I'm the field of awareness. So which is it? Is it the touch is within the awareness, or awareness in the touch? The awareness, the touch is in the awareness, like this. So my whole, that 20% of my world now is surely within the awareness. There's no doubt about it. Because without that, without the awareness, where is it? It's within the awareness. So now if I take, now I hear things. Same thing again you can do. Anything that you hear, any sound, any moment you hear, your awareness is within the hearing faculty. Without the awareness, there would be no sound. As good for you, there would be no sound there. Nothing, right? So you're aware, then it's there. Aware, then it's there, like this. And when you listen, certain things you hear, certain you don't, because there's too much, you have to filter it. So whatever you paid attention, yes, like this. So again, each sound you hear, each moment, the awareness is in that. So in the whole field of sound, again, each sound itself that I hear, okay, awareness in that. But then I'm aware within the awareness, within the field of awareness that I am, then each sound is experienced. Again, just like waves in the water, same thing, like this. So you take it for the other ones too, it's no different. Same thing too. And actually the sense of touch will be more feels like, feel, sense of touch, be some idam, but more aham than idam. Sense of hearing and seeing in this will be more idam, that. Because yes, I see, but I see something outside like this. So where's the external world here? It can only, each one of these five, take one at a time, it's within the awareness. Now, of course, all five of them I'm caught up in, so it makes it a wonderful virtual reality, like this. We think virtual reality is something new, but something much older, but it's really that, because each one of them, and each one in its own field, but then they kind of help to confirm each other. Just like when you go in some, there's this thing years ago I remember being in, where you sit in something, and the film is in front of you, so it's looked like you're on a ski slope or flying or something. The chair moves too, right? And then there are sounds too. So it makes it seem like it's real. But really, you're just sitting there, just a film in front of you. Nothing really happening. One of my wife's musicians, one of her students from India, he was a policeman. So, you know, he would go in very dangerous places, everything. And And I think in India, being a policeman and going to the eastern states that he had to be stationed is much more daring and dangerous than average here. Here, probably too, you know. So this one, he'd never seen something like this because, you know, very simple life. And you know, Odisha is a not very developed place. So when he first came here and we took him, I think it was Universal Studios or something, it wasn't like that. He was so scared. It seemed so real. So in this way, so in that they're out there, but really everything like this within the awareness. So at first, again, easier to see the awareness is in and through every experience I have. You start with that. That's easier at first to accept and say, yes, it can't be without the awareness in. But then you see your whole field of experience is within the one awareness that you are, the ocean of awareness. So which one is the primary? Seems at first the experiences, the things are the primary. But then if I look at it like this, it's very different. And of course, you can say scientifically, you can't show it's one or the other. You don't have the tool, scientifically. How is science going to show that? They've even shown that there's some scientists, must be 15, 20 years ago, I remember. He actually grew up with meditation, certain meditations and everything. So he was thinking about this from young and he became a neuroscientist, and he showed that if you have an apple physically there, or you think about the apple, the same thing happens. You measure the brain waves, the same thing. So that way, you can't prove whether there is the world out there or not, because in the mind's perspective, it's the same. So science can't show it this way or that, can't prove it this way or that. So that we can't prove like this. But if you see, what happens though is, for something to appear, to be there, there has to be some solid background, some base, adhishtanam for everything to be, just like the wave needs the ocean to be there. Without the water there, you cannot have the wave. It's not possible. So I experience everything, there has to be some adhishtanam, some base for everything to be. Without that base, how can everything be there? Now, to say it's an external phenomena, well, the thing is, when the external phenomena is there, as long as the mind is racing around. When the mind's not racing around, where's that external phenomena? The water becomes, you know, the waves foam, everything becomes quiet, just water sitting there. Mind is quiet for a little while, just awareness. So the adhishtanam is a little clearer, you can say then. And then what happens is just awareness. This is what happens though is when I see things, when I experience things, then I don't just take it as, okay, let me just observe, scientific observation. You know, let me just see the water as it is. I want to see as it is. Right now, okay, what is the adhishtan, what is the presence? But I take all my memory with me. All my memory with me, all my history. I take myself as a historic entity. And then I take all that and try to look at something now. But I'm trying to look at right now, present, what's here. That whole past I take with me. And then, you know, then this is in science, the biases in science, right? That's why they have to have peer review and everything. Because, okay, bring my own bias. But the bias isn't where. So my whole past, I want to see right here now. Let me observe seeing right now. But when I see, I take my past and I put it on this present moment. Oh yeah, it's a beautiful day. What do you mean it's a beautiful day? We're looking at what it is. I see the sunlight and it's fairly warm. You know. Or somebody else, they grew up in Alaska, they'll say, oh no, it's not so nice. Where's my snow? You know, I'm burning up. So this moment to see, I have to drop all that historical self. Where's the historical self sitting? Also within your awareness. We talked about the external world, about the internal world, the mind. It's also within the awareness. Also drishyam. Also within each and every thought, each and every emotion, each moment, the same awareness is behind. It's also within the awareness. So that has to be put aside. Then if I just observe, then where is inside outside? It's like, doesn't seem like there is a much of a separation, just awareness. Then the mithyatvam is much more clear because you don't even think about if I'm really, the moments are really present. You're not thinking of distance, you're not thinking of size, you're not thinking of this, it's just presence. Then all my ideas from before come up and say all this thing, all these other things it puts on it. So the mind helps to, the information comes from the senses, the mind helps to support them and create this whole reality thing and take, call it a reality, where all of this is just based on the aware fact that I'm aware. The whole thing, fact that I'm aware. And then afterwards, I, you know, put the whole thing together as this whole model. And the model works very well, obviously. You know, it works very well because everything is working according to some sort of coordination. It's not just random. And so this helps to make it seem more solid and more real like this, in this way. But without the awareness, where is it? And the thing is also without the mind, the one thing that helps to show this also is that without the mind, there's no world and mind go together. Without the mind, there's no world. Without world, no mind. They come and go together. When the mind isn't there, where's the world? When the mind is there, there's world. They have to be together. Kind of like this. When you have a movie in the movie theater, then you need to have the light is constantly there, let's say. You need to have the film, and then you need to have the screen, right? If the film isn't there, where's the movie? If the screen isn't there, where's the movie? So the light is constantly there. When those two are there, it'll come into being. When not there, that's not there. So hand in hand, movie and film, the whole movie you'll see, and the film has to be there. No film, there's just light. And the whole time, when you see the movie, the light is there. So the film that's going through, the slides there, this is kind of like the mind moving like this. And the movie is the world, movie of the world. Take away the film. They come and go together. They're never going to, never have one without the other. But you're there regardless whether they're not. So this is very interesting. So the adhishtanam, the substratum, will be there before, during, and after when something is there. Like we said, the stainless steel, right? Stainless steel is there before the cup came into being, while it's here, when it's gone. Same stainless steel is there in this way. So this shows us same way. Before the movie, light is there, put in the film. After, during the film, also the light is there. So before any experience, I'm there. I'm the awareness. Experience comes like a film like this. I'm the awareness in there, through in and through behind it, and the experience goes away, same one. Very interesting like this. So this shows how the one awareness in and through everything. But then we identify with the seeming changes like this, and then like this, then it catches us in that way. This is nice. I know in the Gita, I think there's another place where it says this, where in two verses, where first Lord Krishna says, I'm in each and every one, and then says, I'm not really in them, but they're in me. But I didn't find it, not being a Gita scholar that just pulls it up like this. But there's one verse here where he says very similar to that. He says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha. This is Gita 9:4, chapter 9, verse 4. So maya tatamidam sarvam, by me everything is pervaded. Jagadavyakta murtina, by the whole world is pervaded by me, the avyakta murtina, by the unmanifest form, formless. So formless Brahman in and through everything, one in and through everything, like this. Then he says, matstani sarva bhutani, every being, Matsutani, every being is within, I'm within every being, like this, or every being is within me. You could see it this way, that, but I think they translate Matsutani, it's Sarva Bhutani, yeah, everything within me. All beings are within me. Nachaham Teshu Avastita, but I am not in them. Because, meaning, don't think that the awareness is just that it's the awareness within each thing, but it's everything within the awareness. Not that I'm in each person. I'm not just the one sitting in the heart of each person. Everybody is within me. Everything's the one within me. I'm all the waves within the one ocean. So don't think, because otherwise it becomes a multiplicity, duality. The Brahman has to separate itself to multiplicity. And then they undivide, and this now suddenly is divided. It doesn't really sound like it really works. The space divides. You know, we each want our nice house, so the space will be nice and will divide itself, so we'll each have our own houses. It seems like the space divided itself, right? But it didn't really divide itself. All the houses are in the space. So this way, seemingly I'm in it through everything, but really everything is within me like this. Now what happens is we look at it, and then we can do some with just a little bit of looking at it, some viveka, that yes, there's the awareness and I can see I'm awareness. And then another part of me which is used to identifying as the individual and used to running, you know, to being caught up in all, in everything like this. And I can see the difference between the two. It, you know, it's not too hard to see. Now the thing is, it's out of habit, we're always caught up in the individual, that I'm this individual jiva. Habit, I keep doing it and doing it and doing it like this. So really what happens is, it takes effort to keep going and putting my attention the other side, because out of habit, I'm doing that one. So keep having to do the viveka and look at the two. And then, okay, because out of habit, my attention wants to go back to the other one. Kind of like if maybe I am used to, you know, sitting slouched, then I say, okay, I better sit straight, better for my back. I'll put awareness in, but I'll talk, and after a few minutes, I'm going to slouch again. Okay. So it takes awareness to keep bringing the attention back. That's why, you know, looking at this regularly is very important. Regularly, keep looking, so that established to look at it in this way. First of all, understanding. When the mind understands, then it can accept it. And then to keep placing the attention on that. Keep changing in this way. Because the other one is just a habit. It's a habitual way of looking at things. That's all that it is. And Swami Dayananji, he was told that, you know, you're brainwashing people, right? This is brainwashing. So he said, yes, absolutely. I'm washing people's brains. So in this way, we have to learn to, you know, wash our brain like this, keep washing, because that habit keeps coming back. It's samskara. Samskara means that automatically the thought energy goes into there. But then what happens, how are the samskara created? Samskara was created because of repeating, acting, or thinking in a certain way. When I consciously do a different way, then slowly that becomes samskara. So again, this isn't just the samskara to help to look at differently, but it's not just for samskara here, it's also for really observing what's there. But it gives us the tools to do. Because the tools that the book says, it's like this, A, B, C, that just gives a little bit of direction methodology, but then one has to look at it, because in the end, to observe that I'm there, I'm the awareness, the word I, the word awareness, aren't I or aren't awareness. They're just, you know, small pointers, but then I have to do the vichara, I have to look at it. Nobody can do it for me like this. So that's why it's not just the technical samskara, but then using that tool, stepping stone, then I have to really look at it. Look in what is there. Because that there's a, the nama and vastu aren't the same thing. The name you give to something, an actual thing, they're not the same. One points to it. And the thing is, without knowing the thing there, how can I even think about, like, if you were at a place where there were no cups before, and I show you a cup, people just go to the river and drink or something like this, then, or take the coconut shell, drink the coconut and throw, that's it. Then you'd say, what is that? Because now there is something you can look at. Oh, okay, that's what it is. Okay. So then they go together. So eye awareness, that's clear to me, it's there, but then awareness pointer to it. But the problem here is we have a misunderstanding of what it is. So we just have to clarify misunderstanding. We say I and we say awareness, but then it's mixed in with other things. So clarifying, it's not these things, it's this thing in this way. So not this, but because of the confusion. And this is the whole thing Vedanta is pointing at. Let's see if there's anything else important here. I think that's some of the main points we can say. But the mind is very conditioned that we really have to keep looking at, because it's when the mind takes something and, you know, takes something and concludes something's in a certain way, very hard to change that mind. Very difficult, because it gets set in this way. Here, look at our country. Pretty much split in half in certain things. Half think this is absolutely how it is. Other half thinks this is absolutely how it is. Very hard to change people's minds on these things. How strong the idea is like this. So we just see that's how the mind functions in this way. So the idea I'm this historic self is very deeply ingrained in this way. It is. And, you know, we can say nature did because so I can preserve myself. You know, it has to be there. We can make all sorts of reasons why exactly, but the fact is that it's very much ingrained. The mind thinks something a certain way and hard for it to change it. And then to change this major base thing, this major thing, I'm this limited one, I'm not that limited one, takes a lot of vichara, a lot to look into, because one has to really look deeply at these things, and really question them and really look at them in this way, not just holding on to my ideas I have, or I'm comfortable in a certain range of ideas, that's it, like this. So Swami Tathagatananda Ji said, he calls it like the Copernican revolution you have to have, literally like this. And it really is the same kind of thing, that instead of the world being flat, or instead of the sun going around the earth, that the earth is going around the sun, really flipping it totally the other way. And so one has to first really look at and understand what it's saying, really understand closely, and then really look at it again and again, because how I see myself, how deeply ingrained it is out of habit, so deeply ingrained out of habit that I have to slowly keep looking at it, and then question, see, the other, first of all, the other way makes a lot of sense. It doesn't not make sense. If it doesn't make sense, there's no way the mind is going to follow. Makes sense and understand and keep looking at that. Very interesting. You know, how interesting this is. In it, through everything, say, I'm the same awareness. Very interesting. So just looking at that and reflecting on that and everything. What a difference. When I'm really present, where's everything else? But when I'm present, usually I'm taking the past and future, mixing it in, so it seems like some, you know, like it's really, you know, I'm this individual going through this whole series of time. But really, if I drop those, the past and future, then where is all that? If I'm really present with something, where is it? That's why people like certain things through the senses to soothe themselves. Somebody hears music, soothes, because then they're not taking past and future, they're okay. Or eating. You eat and then okay, you're just with the taste now, and then then where's this? So much so that this works, that soothes us, that this Zen master, very world famous, Thich Nhat Hanh, he said, I heard him when he talked, he said something very interesting. He was saying how the problem isn't that people are enjoying these things, tasting and hearing and this. The problem, they're not really enjoying going through it. He said, because let's say if somebody really took, okay, just listen to the sound, just be with the sound, you'll become really present. And then you'll say, I'm just present. Okay. Then you're just present. The sound goes. You're still present, no problem. But the thing is, superficially, they go after, but superficially. Because really, somebody's going after because they, agitated. That's what they really want. They want just to drop all that stuff, but they're doing superficially. Okay, so there's a tool, hold on to, and then afterwards, look at it, and then even that's not there. So in this way of really being present with something, you're really present, then where's the past? Where's this? Without putting all the past future onto it. Yeah, then where is it all? And then seeing that that's the same in all experiences, but I put my other ideas on in this way. So in this way, so this gives this verse then gives it to, to see that there's no karya karana bhava, see that there's really, karya karana, my past is my present because of my past. Like that. That's also an individual level. So seeing that, first of all, see there's one presence in and it through everything. One everything asti asti. One awareness I am in and through everything. Yet each thing one at one that each thing, my awareness in each thing, easier at first to see. And then really to see, I'm aware, and these things are just like waves coming going, but the awareness stays the same. So in this way, it helps to point this out in this way. So this is a very beautiful one that really captures this whole idea so nicely. And then it captures, but then we have to keep looking at it again and again like that. So let's conclude. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihim.